time. And so many, many families, and we're thankful. I think you've made a wise decision by giving the best of your Christmas time here to the Lord. And I pray the Lord speaks to your heart through the preaching and teaching of God's Word tonight. As I mentioned this morning, we started this thought, The Greatest Gift. And as I was studying it out, there was just so many different things about what makes this gift so great. We kind of made it into a two-part message. So we're going to look a little bit, first of all, what we learned about this morning, because I know there's a number of people here tonight that was not here this morning. And then we're going to jump right into the second part, The Greatest Gift. Now, the greatest gift in the world that was ever given was when God sent his son down the cross to die for our sins. You say, well, was the greatest gift Jesus, or was the greatest gift eternal life? Well, I think the greatest gift was Jesus, and he provided us eternal life. We talked about that Samaritan woman at the well this morning, and we looked at that in John chapter number 4, and it said, Jesus looked at the woman, if thou knewest the gift of God, if people knew the gift of God and understood the gift of God, they would be asking for it. That's Jesus says to this woman, if thou knewest the gift of God, and then she went on saying, if thou knewest who was speaking to you, you would ask for this. And I want you to understand tonight that we have something that is precious, and when we understand the greatest gift. So as we step back and take a look at this passage, these passages of Scripture and these thoughts, what makes this the greatest gift and why this is the greatest gift, it just helps us admire and humbly exalts our thoughts to who God is and what he did for us and how much he loved us and how much he demonstrated his love towards us and why we come together to celebrate Christmas. So here's some things that we learned about this morning. And let's see, hey, it worked on the first time. Isn't that great? This morning it did not like me and did not work on the first time. So I think we got that figured out. But this morning we looked at some things. We're going to go through it quickly. And then we have five or six more things. You said, five or six? That's going to take a long time. No, we'll go through it pretty quickly. And you should be thankful I left five or six of them upstairs because I didn't want to take all night doing it. But five or six things. First of all, it's the greatest gift. Jesus Christ coming to this world to die for our sins is the greatest gift. You will not get any greater gift. There is no other gift that even is in comparison. You say, why? Some of the reasons. Number one, we learned this morning, because who gave the gift? This is Creator God. There is none other God. This is the I Am. This is in the beginning. God created the heaven and earth. He is the one that offered his gift. And that's why he looked at that Samaritan woman and said, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you knew that God was offering you a gift, you would be asking for it. But secondly, not only it goes that far, but it talks about why the gift was given. And we gave illustration to the fact that sometimes people give gifts because they feel obligated. Well, so-and-so gave me a present, so I must respond. That's not how God worked. God loved us, and that's the reason why he gave the gift. Out of a love for us, out of a love for people that were unlovely, out of a love for people that were going to sin and do things against his will. And many times you see what happened to Jesus when he came into this world, and they knew all the things you were ever going to do. He knows everything you would ever think, and he still loved you. I don't even like myself sometimes when I think about the things I think about. But God loved us. And that's why it was the greatest gift. Then we considered a sacrifice that was made. We talked about how he became, that he tasted death for every man. Like we looked about in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. And then we talked about because the gift was made available to everyone. It wasn't just certain people got this and certain people got that. And sometimes because of finances, because of circumstances, not everything is offered to everyone. You have to limit what you can do and what you can give, but not the gift that God gave us. And there's a reason why it's the greatest gift, because it's available to everyone. For God so loved the world and that he tasted death for every man. He was our propitiation, not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. That's the reason why it's the greatest gift. Also because it was something that was needed. Sometimes we get things for Christmas that we look at and say, I don't really need that. We're thankful for the gift, we're thankful for the thought, but there are things that we just don't always can use. Everyone needs the gift of Jesus Christ. Everyone needs the gift of eternal life. Everyone needs to see themselves as a sinner and receive Christ as their sins. And then last but not least, we talked about this morning that it was an unspeakable gift. No matter how many times, you think about it, how many songs have been written about Jesus? Think about how many sermons have been preached about Jesus. And the half has not even yet been told about how great he is and how this is the greatest gift. This is the most precious thing that's ever been given to us. So tonight when we look at it, we got, I think, five or six more things, and I think you'll enjoy these things, but it doesn't, don't want to lose sight. And the reason why we're doing this is to step back and say, okay, it's Christmas Eve, it's Christmas night, and night before Christmas, and lots of people have different traditions, lots of people have different things. I used to tell my kids, can't open presents until Christmas Day. So you know what they started making me do? Stay up till midnight, and then I had to open the present. So now we give in, and most of the time we open presents that Christmas Eve night, because I don't want to stay up till midnight. Plus, I don't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So sometimes not. We'll see how it all works out. They think that, you know, today at the dinner table, I looked at Andrew and said, we're not opening them tomorrow. He says, Dad, you say that every year. And he said, yeah, but you started making me stay up till midnight. So that's why we changed. So the greatest gift. Let's look at a couple things. First of all, I want to think about this. And like I said, these are some different things. This morning was mostly a salvation gospel message to help people understand their need for the gift. Tonight, you're going to see that that's going to be in the presentation. But these are some things that maybe we did not think about. Think about the presentation of the gift. I know in the day and time that, I guess we're on the wrong one. See? It skipped it. This thing does not like me today. The presentation of the gift. You know, sometimes in the day and time that we live in, people really make the presents look really pretty. I mean, they take time and they use different things, and I think it's really neat. We got one this year that I thought was really cool, the way that they had done it and things like that. The presentation of the gift. But you think about the presentation of the greatest gift. It's amazing when you consider it. You know how the angel came to Mary and told Mary. The angel came to Joseph and told Joseph. That night, think about the presentation of the gift. They went to the shepherds. Remember, we talked about last Sunday night, the shepherds were kind of the outcast society. If there was an important message, the shepherds would not be the one that would be told. In all reality, they'd probably be out in their fields, and they wouldn't even find out about it until they came in. But God doesn't work that way. God loves everyone. God has this gift that's intended for everyone. Instead of going to Caesar, instead of going to Herod, instead of going to the religious leaders, they went to the shepherds. And that teaches us a principle in that presentation, is that this gift is the greatest gift and is intended for everybody. But picture what it says in Luke chapter number 2, and let's look at that, how that experience happens. In Luke chapter number 2, we'll go ahead and start in verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. So he is presenting the gift of God. He's presenting the Savior that came. It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You think about the presentation here, an angel speaking to the shepherds. He was not born in a palace. He was not born. He was born and placed in a manger. The swaddling clothes, there's many times the clothes that would be used when it came to burial clothes. So it even has a prophecy in the idea, as we heard Miss Karen just sing about, he was born to die. Verse number 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Now, I want you to think about the presentation. One of the reasons why this is the greatest gift is because it had the greatest presentation. That, you know, the one angel came and he gave this message. And think about the wonderful message. It is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he comes to the shepherds, and it's done in a lowly manger. And you think about it. Then we think about the star. You think about the wise men. How this present was given and presented to the world. It's an amazing thing. Made the greatest gift because it's a presentation. Next thing I want you to think about is because how the gift was delivered. How the gift was delivered. Now, my family, you know, grew up in Maryland. And lots of times we don't go home for Christmas because of different things, mostly because we have a Christmas Eve service. It's hard to travel all through the night and then be there and other responsibilities. And I'm not saying feel bad for me, because I don't feel bad about it at all. But at the same time, it's much better when you deliver a present in person. It means more. You think about it. I know sometimes you can't always be that way. Sometimes you have to send the packages because of distance or because of convenience sake. But when you're there and you're able to share your gifts, one of the many people's favorite times is sharing the gifts and watching other people open their gifts. You know how people look at you and see how you're going to respond. Andrew has said a gift that he got his mother. If his mother was not happy about the first gift, he wasn't going to give her the second gift. And it was supposed to be funny. Maybe someday you guys will. But he was joking because he has something planned for her. And when it comes to Andrew, you never know what he has planned. But it's the idea here that it's delivered in person. You think about Jesus did not send an angel. God did not send an angel to do this. He came himself. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and its own received him not. He left the glories of heaven to come here. That's why it was the greatest gift, because he delivered it himself. I tell you that if you have a child that lives far away, and you wasn't expecting for them to come for Christmas, and they brought you a gift, and they ended up being on the doorstep, and they gave you the gift, you probably wouldn't care about the gift that much. You'd be excited because of who brought it. And in this, it makes it the greatest gift, not just because of the presentation, but because of the fact that who delivered it? He came himself to die for the sins of mankind. That's another reason why it's the greatest gift. Think about this reason why he's the greatest gift, and I like this one, is because the gift was unsolicited. Anybody ever ask you what you want for Christmas? I mean, when you're kids, I mean, that's a big thing. Okay, what do you want for Christmas? And I understand why people ask that. I understand why people have that thought. They want to get something that the person they know is going to enjoy. They want to make sure that they have a good understanding of what they might like and not like, because, you know, they don't want to spend their money on something that someone might not like. Now, think about this from this gift. It was unsolicited. We did not ask for it. Think about it. Back in the garden, when Adam sinned in the garden, what did Adam do? He ran and hid. He didn't say, God, you know, I messed up. I sinned. And he didn't know what that was back then. I broke your law. I broke your commandment. And God, I need you to help me. No, he didn't. What happened? God came and said, Adam, where art thou? Did God know where he was? Of course he did. But Adam wasn't looking for God. God was looking for him. And this gift of salvation, this gift of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that he was slain before the foundation of the world. It's the thought that was put into this gift that all men were sinners, as it says up there, but God commended his love toward us, and that, you know, while we were sinners, while we needed this gift, he saw in his foreknowledge what was going to happen. He planned this gift out. He knew it was going to be there. It wasn't the fact that we asked for it, because we would have never asked for it, because we would have never seen the need, but God came looking for us. I love that. That makes it the greatest gift. It's because we needed it and we had to have it. And it's the greatest gift because of the fact it was something we didn't ask for. I know sometimes we enjoy getting people things with what they ask for, because we know that's something they might like. But when someone thinks of something and gives you something that you never even realized how much you would enjoy it, it makes it even more special. The greatest gift was Jesus Christ, because it was unsolicited. It was something that the thought went into it and showed and demonstrated that salvation was not an afterthought with God. Revelation 13:8, it says, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. How wonderful it is this blessed Christmas season to think that the greatest gift ever given was never even asked for. If you take back and you step back and you think about that and say, wow, Jesus came because he loved me. Jesus came because he knew I had a need that I did not even know that I had. That's how much he loved me. Okay, next one. I like this one too. I know I don't know if I chose the right way to word it, because the gift never goes out of style. You ever got a Christmas present a few years later? Wasn't really worth anything. It wasn't something that was attractive anymore. Usually 5 years ago they had this it toy. You had to get this toy. One day it was a Tickle Me Elmo. Another day it was a Cabbage Patch Dolls, probably when I was a kid. Not that I got them, but for girls. They were gifts that never, you know, things go out of style. I mean, you think about some of the clothing that was back in the 70s. You look at the yearbooks and you look at that and say, wow, that was a style a long time ago. Of course, it's coming back sometimes, but it's a gift that never goes out of style. What does that mean? You know what? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just as much as the person needed Jesus Christ 100 years ago, they need him today. He's not going to change. What the salvation gift that is offered, eternal life that's needed, it's never going to go out of style. It's something that is always needed. It's something that it's the greatest gift because it always has purpose. It never loses its value. You ever heard this phrase? It's the gift that just keeps on giving. It keeps on giving and keeps on giving. And that's why it's the greatest gift, because it always has a purpose. And it always has value to it. Next one. At the end of the service this morning, someone came up to me and told me they liked the message, and that to consider this as one of the points if I ever preach it again. And I guess they weren't listening, because I said I was going to send the second part tonight. That was a joke too. But so I was going to say, but I put this in there, and they had brought this to my attention, and I liked it. I took out one of the other ones. It's the keeper of the gift. And sometimes when you're given a gift, then it becomes your responsibility. Like, for instance, you know, the parents give, say, we've given our dog, our dogs, we've given our boys a dog before for Christmas a couple of times. And when they were young, the first dog they got was Oscar. And Oscar was a good dog. He was a hot dog, you know, one of those Dachshunds, right? And since it, so it was Oscar Mayer Wiener, so it was Oscar Mayer Pease was his name. But when the boys received the gift, you know what we told them? He's your responsibility. You have to take care of him. We know how all that works, right? That doesn't happen very much. But our boys did pretty good with him. And you know, later on when we got the other dog, the same type of thing. Here's the dog. This is your responsibility. Take care of it. The greatest gift, we don't have to take care of it. You look what it says in Psalms chapter 3, verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. It's a gift that we cannot lose. It's a gift that they're not going to take back. But he is the one that takes care of the gift. And you think about the Holy Spirit of God is the one who has sealed the gift. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We can trust in this gift. Think about what it says in Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Listen to these verses. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Think about it. He is the keeper. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. And it's an amazing thought there that it's the greatest gift because he keeps the gift. Last but not least for this portion of the sermon is because of the value of the gift. My purpose of this morning and tonight's message is for us to just step back and look at how valuable the gift that Jesus Christ is. He's the most precious gift we'll ever receive. Think about what it says in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And it's all the different things that Christ is to us. It's amazing how precious that he is. And as we sit back, we come to worship the fact that Christ came, but we don't worship the babe in the manger. We're thankful he came. We worship who he is, and he is God that came to die for the sins of mankind. Think about the preciousness, and we use this verse this morning. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he was willing to give his own son. And we talked about the preciousness, your child, your grandchild. If you're willing to give that up, what is he going to hold back from us? What is he going to say you can't have if he's willing to give his most precious? This evening, as we think about this greatest gift, let's consider the value of the gift and how precious it is. So many times we feel inadequate or fearful or unobligated to tell other people about this, but it's something that is precious. It's something that other people need. As we mentioned this morning, it's the gift that should be shared also. We looked at Luke chapter number 2, and we looked at the shepherds and how they went and told everyone about the child. They didn't talk about the angel. They didn't talk about the singing. They talked about the child. It's important that we share this gift with other people. Let me remind you of a few other things we learned about this morning. Consider these facts about gift giving. And when it comes to eternal life, I want you to think about this. A true gift does not cost the receiver anything. A true gift doesn't cost the person receiving it anything. And that's the idea here that teaches us the importance that, as we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that it's the gift of God. Over and over in Scripture it says, the gift of God, the gift of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For ye are saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus, looking at that Samaritan woman, says, if ye knew the gift of God, he says, this is a gift that God is offering you, and we cannot do anything to earn it. I gave the illustration this morning that if I had given someone my tablet and said, here, this is a gift, you only owe me $100. It's not a gift then. Next thing is a true gift cannot be taken back. You mean they can't return it? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the person who gave the gift cannot come back later and take it away from you if it's truly a gift. You can't say, here, you can have this, and then later on come back and say, I want it back. Then that really truly is not a gift. And the same thing it teaches is the principle of eternal security, the fact that when Jesus gives the gift and it's eternal life and it's everlasting life and that he's not going to take that back. He is not an Indian giver. You cannot lose your salvation. And the third thing, and where I like to focus at for a second, to enjoy the gift, you must receive it first. I told you the story this morning that I have a gift for my sister, for Andrew, and I lost it. I still think I gave it to my oldest son to hide, but he says I didn't. I lost it. And we spent part of the afternoon looking for it. We still didn't find it. So it's still lost. So Andrew's not going to receive the benefit of that gift until it's found. Here's the principle is, the gift of God is available for people to take. The gift of God is something that God is offering to mankind. But if you do not receive that gift, you will never be able to take part of the benefits. You say, well, how can I receive this gift? Well, as we mentioned this morning, and help you understand that, you know, Christ came to this world to be born in a manger, but his purpose was to die on a cross for the sins of mankind. He tasted death for every man because our sin has separated us from God, and the wages of our sin means that we're going to be separated from God forever. But the gift of God, remember that gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you can accept that gift by, as it says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's saying you'll receive the gift of God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Tonight, have you ever done that? Has there ever been a time in your life that you saw the fact that you needed the gift of God? Just like that one woman in the Samaritan well, she was drawing the water. She had living an immoral life. She was worshiping God in her own way. And she was a religious person and this and that. She had a rough life. And Jesus says, if you just knew the gift of God, if you understood the gift of God, Christ came to die for your sins and he is offering you eternal life as a gift. Now, will you receive it? I also, as considering this greatest gift, sometimes you can neglect that gift. How can you neglect the gift? Well, I think sometimes as believers, we've received the gift. And with the gift, there comes a lot of benefits. With Jesus Christ and receiving eternal life, the Bible talks how we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. We can have a life of joy. We can have a life of peace. We can have a fruitful life of bearing the fruits of the Spirit, bringing other people to Christ. But some of us do not use that gift the way that God has intended to. And we misuse it. We abuse it. We neglect that gift. And because of that, we are missing out on the life that God wants us to have. Tonight, the question is, have you ever received that gift? If you died today, do you know that you would go to heaven? The Bible says that he offers eternal life. He offers you a place in heaven. He even talks about in John chapter 14. And he says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Then he begins to talk about the mansions that are being prepared there. Then he says he's going to return for us. There is a gift of God that he is offering. And in that gift of God, have you ever received that gift? And if you have received that gift, are you using that gift to its fullest potential? Do you have a life that's full of peace and a life that is full of joy and a life that is bearing the fruits of the Spirit and a life that is seeing people saved? Do not neglect the gift of God and God's gift he's offering to you. I really truly believe it's the greatest gift. And if you take time, as I've done this past week, and as you take time listening tonight, it's the greatest gift because of who gave it. It's the greatest gift because it was done out of love. It was the greatest gift because of the sacrifice that was made. It's the greatest gift because it's available to everyone, and everyone needed the gift. As the Apostle Paul came to that spot, and he says, but thanks be to God for that unspeakable gift. Even though we could talk about it for hours, remember, no words can truly describe the gift of Jesus Christ. Remember the presentation of the gift, how the gift was delivered. Remember, it was an unsolicited gift, and that the fact that the gift never goes out of style. And don't forget the keeper of the gift. But more importantly, don't forget the value of the gift. What that gift can mean to you. Let's go ahead and have everybody bow their heads and close.